For more information about Ancient Dragon Zen Gate and Tygon's teaching, please visit us at ancientdragon.org.
Thanks so much for being here, everybody. I always look forward to Monday night practice, and I've had a lot of support from the Sangha. My topic tonight is gratitude, and scroll up a bunch of stuff on this paper and hope that I can keep it all organized. I've recently, this winter, with this difficult cold weather and short days, I feel like I need a lot of help to, just to keep, stay in good practice and to work with my moodiness and my sluggishness and having my own difficult emotions and behavior. So gratitude has been a really good practice for me. In the last few weeks, I've been working with it, and I generally start by, it's easiest for me actually to focus on sort of the big picture things that are probably quite obvious, how the environment supports everything we do, and the oxygen and water and food and all of the resources required for all of our material needs as humans, and just this wonderful supportive environment that all beings on this planet benefit from. So that's generally quite easy to feel so fortunate to have that support when I can put my attention there. It helps me connect to all beings quite quickly, actually, because there's this awareness that I have that everything that has come my way has been through infinite numbers of hands that have made things available to me. And I can't think of anything that I've done on my own or that I've actually created myself without this infinite support of all beings. I'm not a very good public speaker, so I'm going to have to stop and breathe for a second, drink some water.
That's fine.
Anyways, looking at the big picture, that's one step in gratitude, and then bringing it closer into my actual real life existence with my community and people around me. I see quite quickly that I have a lot to be grateful for, and if I have a hang up or an issue or a difficult problem, often I can kind of turn it around by looking at these aspects that have actually created the supportive environment. And it's kind of interesting. I was thinking about some of the chants that we say, and one that always speaks to me when we're having sesshin is the one line in the Five Contemplations verse that when we reflect on the effort that it has brought us this food and consider how it comes to us, that is really meaningful to me, to actually have that opportunity to make that reflection. And then also the Bodhisattva vows, when I think about this vow to save all beings, I actually feel like all beings have had a hand in supporting everything that we have today. And it seems like this vow to save all beings can be seen as an expression of gratitude or generosity. So there's, it seems like when I think about gratitude and contemplate it, I feel like there's this this confidence and abundance that kind of arises, and it kind of leads the way for this aspect of actually expressing gratitude and being able to be generous to all beings. Let's see. I have a quote from Suzuki Roshi from Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. And he says, every existence in nature, every existence in the human world, every cultural work that we create is something which was given or is being given to us, relatively speaking. But as everything is originally one, we are in actuality giving out everything. So in my loose understanding, I feel like definitely he's speaking about that exchange that happens. I've also read a little bit of, actually read a lot of Chogyam Trungpa's books in the past, and one of his books called Training the Mind and Cultivating Loving Kindness, he talks about this one, they work with slogans, and he talks about this one slogan called Be Grateful to Everyone. And it's a practice of, you know, using difficulties as opportunities for practice. And he says, in one brief quote, without this world, we cannot attain enlightenment. There would be no journey. All our past history and all of our neurosis is related with others in some sense. Every one of those little details that are seemingly obstacles to us become an essential part of the path. Without them, we have no feedback. And then he goes on to say, he talks about this teacher named Atisha, who was invited to Tibet, and he had heard rumors that everyone in Tibet was so kind and hospitable, and so he was concerned that he wouldn't have an opportunity to practice while he was teaching there. So he brought a tea servant with him who had a hot temper and was pretty difficult to be around. And then he got to Tibet and he realized that he didn't need his tea servant. So that was kind of speaking to that aspect of, you know, you don't need to really look for trouble to have practice. You can, you know, there's going to be all sorts of things to practice with. You know, just give it time. And then the last quote that I have, which I think is loosely related. One more thing that I have gratitude for today is the index in this book that this book that Taigen translated of the Ehe Kuroku. This one quote I really like. Well, it's not exactly a quote. It's a Dharma Hall discourse, but it's an exchange about an exchange between Sudhana who studied with Manjushri. And it's all of it, I don't think, necessarily speaks to what I'm talking about today, but this part does. Here is a story. Sudhana studied with Manjushri. Oh, it's called Healing the Separation Between Blades of Grass. Here's a story. Sudhana studied with Manjushri. Manjushri said, "Go out and bring back one stalk of medicinal herb." Sudhana left and looked throughout the entire earth, but there was nothing that was not medicine. He came back to Manjushri and said, "The whole great earth is medicine. Which one should I pick and bring to you?" Manjushri said, "Bring back one stalk of medicinal herb." Sudhana plucked one blade of grass and gave it to Manjushri. Manjushri held up the single blade, showed it to the assembly, and said, "This one blade of grass both can kill a person and can give them life." And then Dogen said, "Previously one blade of grass, afterward also one blade of grass. How much separation is there between the former and the latter?" And his answer was, "The separation is only one blade of grass."
So thank you. I'm grateful for you offering us a starting point to talk about gratitude. Does anyone have any response or question or anything to say for Sharina's gratitude?
Also, if there's other things that are helpful practices that that are sort of similar, I'm also interested to hear what your methods are.
Jim?
I remember once in a session when I felt a tide glow of gratitude toward all the people that I've known as they came to mind in a very random, chaotic way, including those I've barely rushed by, including places on the street, small interactions, major people, some who I really experienced a dislike or irritation at. Some who made things very difficult for me and apparently set out to hurt me in some way, whether they succeeded or not. And I felt all of them bringing me along and composing me, putting me together, bringing me to that moment. Indispensable. All of them, my belonging to all of them, I'm belonging, they belonging, all of them belonging to me. Couldn't be whatever I was and wherever I was without them.
one thing brings a lot of my practice of gratitude, that brings a lot of gratitude up, is the idea of impermanence. And, I'm just thinking about my dog, because she's 12. She's getting up there. And some people, I feel like some people think that death is a really morbid thing to think about, but when I can really truly look at my dog and say, "You're going to die. You're going to die." That's a really grateful thing to have her in that moment. Or, and not even just death, but gratitude towards all things passing away and not lasting. So I think that's a really a good connection point for me.
Yeah, I definitely see how, yeah, that how impermanence can relate to just the texture of the highs and lows in life that really help form our practice and our sensitivities. Like what Jim was saying also.
Tom?
I have a tendency to forget about gratitude towards my own family, but, you know, my partner, my daughter, who's also getting up there, you know. And our dog, you know, when she was getting up there before she passed, I did the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you're going to pass. You know, I'm just kind of dealing with that and thinking that that was kind of, but grateful to be able to talk. I don't know. Anyhow, but I tend to forget about being grateful, the gratitude, and being grateful that I have, and finding the things maybe that I should be or am grateful for, but I know I had a couple of realizations the other day for my partner, and so that was, and that's such a good feeling, because, you know, that doesn't happen. You know, it's, I think maybe it's, I don't know how it works, but I feel like as time goes on it, and right now it's, and so it's nice to find out that, and to really, connect with that and not hang on to it, you know, and that be the only reason, you know, thing. But and then to let him know that too, or let my daughter know that when there are things. But I forget a lot, you know, and to do that, and I think it's really important for me, like, you know, to do that. So. But I'm grateful for your talk. Thank you. For the talk, I really like it a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, I just say thank you to Dawn, because I think we do take what's closest to us for granted sometimes. So reminders of gratitude are really, I think, helpful. Brooks?
Somehow this line from, or it's a small bit of a Mary Oliver poem came to mind. And it just makes me think, because this is my experience too, sometimes gratitude can seem very commonplace. But anyway, the little part of the poem is, that the cow shows gratitude for the grass by eating it. So I guess there's a sense that just by doing our thing, there, I mean, as long as it's conscious, maybe, I don't really know because it's explaining hairs, but there's something that made sense to me about that. Just to enjoy maybe what we have is a expression of gratitude.
Well, it's funny because definitely my last couple of weeks have changed a lot because I've been focusing on gratitude, and I've been kind of forcing myself to focus on it because I was really nervous about having to have a Dharma discussion topic ready for people to talk about and listen to. But it was great because I'm a very irritable person at home, often, like daily, and sometimes I can't even bear it because sometimes I'd rather not be seen being irritable, and my partner sees me be irritable every day, and it's really hard because I feel bad about it, and then I don't want to be seen, and then there's a whole problem around it. So this focusing on gratitude for a couple of weeks, it's probably been 3 weeks, it's actually made things way better at home, and I don't feel nearly as grumpy, and it's so much better. It's such a relief. And I told my partner that I was doing this talk like a week ago or a few days ago, and he was like, "Oh, I was wondering what was going on with you." Nicer to be around.
Serena, can I tell you a secret? You don't need to stop thinking about that.
It's interesting, though, what you just said, because, like, I tend to be pretty negative and see the negative before I see the positive. And then we bring gratitude in, it just like opens up, everything just like opens up and you get lighter, and it's just a totally different, and then it just kind of builds on itself too. And it's so, I don't know, just so, you know, you're able to breathe, you're able to, it just brings a whole different light to everything. And yeah, and then you actually really start to feel gratitude, you know. And then just all of the when you were saying like all the different pans too, I was thinking like the last year I was down in like a farming community, and these farmers work like dogs. I mean, they're up really, really early, really, really late, and you see how hard they work, and then you feel in their bodies how it's really affecting their bodies too, just from all that hard labor and intensive work. And you then, you know, and then you're up here and you kind of forget about where everything comes from, and you're like going to the grocery store, and like it's so removed from like, you know, where the beginning of where it starts. So, and then just the gratitude for all that hard work that you don't realize it goes on. And you just go on the shelf and pick something up and pop it in the microwave.
Books, I was thinking that gratitude brings awareness. When I was listening to Serena, I was thinking that gratitude brings kindness.
So yesterday morning I had the great experience of going to a brunch in celebration of someone's 96th birthday, my friend's Aunt Mimi. And I've known her for many years, but I only see her every now and then. But I kept trying to figure out what I could learn from her. And she's great. She's 96 and she still takes the bus around to go to the opera and stuff. You know, and I just realized as you were talking tonight that I do think that's sort of part of her worldview. You know, she's grateful for everything. That she was so happy that we were there, and she was beaming about how delighted that people wanted to celebrate her birthday. And I asked her niece, you know, what do you think she wants? Chocolate, for sure. That's all she wanted for presents. So, Anyway, it was great to see this. She was an inspiration in her attitude. And I hadn't quite pinpointed it to gratitude. I mean, you could probably interpret it lots of different ways, but I like thinking about it that way. I think she's really grateful that she had a great life and she's still having it. Every day is a gift to us too, I guess.
I was thinking a lot about that too, that like practicing with gratitude, like it definitely led itself to the expression of gratitude, which was, it was sort of like really easy once there was that genuine contemplation, because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't forced and it wasn't giving to get something, but or it isn't. It's more like this. It just kind of becomes this this feeling of like generosity, just naturally and natural abundance. Like there is this wealth around us, this entire planet, and like I don't need to really cling to things because it's all around us. And I don't need to buy a pair of shoes because there's not really, you know, like there's things that in the past I would covet things, but with feeling this like abundance through gratitude, it sort of makes me feel like I don't need anything, but it's also really easy to give too.
So your expression just now of gratitude, just another word popped up, contentment.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
to feel content with the situation we have. And gratitude, of course, leads to that. And so that allows us to respond to whatever's going on from a more gentle and, I think, skillful place.
There was one time I was here, I was visiting, and you were talking about supporting and sustaining all beings, and I totally went out and bought a pair of shoes. And I was like, that's right, I gotta support and sustain all beings.
Well, maybe that's one way to do it. So Serena wants shoes for her birthday.
I don't buy that many pairs of shoes, but every once in a while I buy a pair of shoes.
Any other comments or reflections for Serena on gratitude?
It does seem like that just giving himself a chance to intentionally take the time to be grateful is something that I rarely do. But it does, you know, it does give you an opportunity to just step aside from the way you ordinarily think and feel about things. I mean, we're always walking around preoccupied with how screwed up things are, or something bad's happened, or something bad is going to happen, or something's wrong here, or gosh, I really need to do this. And so that whole, just that simple act of, okay, taking a different approach, steps away out of that altogether. And I think, you know, it is an awakening, in a sense. It's kind of, it's interesting that, you know, the Tibetans are so methodical in doing everything. It's always a technique for everything. But, you know, the Shin Buddhist tradition is very much like that. I mean, they don't really meditate. They're really, the key component of their spirituality is to be grateful right now for whatever there is. And, you know, unlike other
Pure Land Buddhists, when they recite Dhammamita Butsu, it's not to get to paradise. It's an expression of gratitude for this moment and what's been given to you in every sense. And it's just something that it really isn't part of the Zen tradition so much, I don't think. And it's interesting because it does open you up, and it's not some sort of it's not a view of emptiness. It's just sort of a direct, simple thing that you can do to open up. And it's pretty remarkable.
It does seem really different that, you know, like practicing with gratitude and the difference between practicing, like with our chants, gratitude's expressed in a lot of our different chants and, you know, dedication and like the dedication of merit, and then before the meal and the bodhisattva vow, and like there's a lot of different aspects of gratitude that are expressed, and I think that it, but for me, I'm not used to expressing gratitude enough in my life or in my thoughts. Like, I reserve my thoughts for my low-level grumblings instead of actually, you know, having an awareness around my thoughts. And so it's very different, you know, like to allow myself to grumble, you know, for 40 years. And then to like for 3 weeks to try something different, you know, like it's kind of, then I can kind of be like, oh yeah, that's what these chants are about. They are more meaningful now when I think about them. So.
Thank you. Yes, Serena. So all of the, that when we do service, our chanting and our offering incense and our bowing, all of that is about gratitude, exactly. We're grateful to Buddha for allowing us to express Buddha each in our own way. So we're saying, thank you, Buddha. That's what our services are all about.